He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I assure you that all of your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 18, beginning with verse 20. Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave. I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within this city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading is from Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by praying and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Hallelujah verse.
Was recorded in Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we all ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We join in professing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and on the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time, if the children would come forward. Good morning. How are you doing today? Good. This morning we're going to talk about prayer, and I think that's probably what you talked about in Sunday school this morning. Not for sure what all you went into, but what do you think prayer is? Okay, talk to God. Okay, when you bow your head and close your eyes and put your hands together. All right. Yes. Worship God. Okay. A way to tell God something. Okay. Yeah. It is, I guess, one of our key ways, main ways that we can communicate with God, right? That we talk to Him. What do you think are some things that we can tell God? What do we do in prayer? What? To help us, to tell Him your troubles, to thank Him for things. What else? Anything else? Okay, to pray for the star test. Yep. Yep. That's right. So can you tell God pretty much anything? You think He can... He's big enough to handle anything you can tell Him? I think He is too. And it is a way that we communicate with Him. We can ask Him to help us with something. If we have something big going on in our life, we can ask for help with that. Or we can thank Him for what all He does for us, right? And let me ask you this. Is there a certain place that you need to go to pray?
No.
No? You can pray anywhere. Yeah. I don't know about the adult video that we watched today. I thought that was a pretty good example. The speaker said that he could call the White House right now and probably would not be put through to talk to the president, right? He's a pretty special guy, right? And so, but he probably wouldn't be able to talk directly to him. But can he talk to God right now? Yeah. And God will listen and answer all the time. There's not any single time that we can pray to God and he will not hear us. He's there all the time for us. He's there to listen to whatever we have to tell him. Now, do you have to use certain words when you pray? No. You just tell him what's on your mind, right? In your own words. Right. In fact, there's a passage where Jesus is telling about prayer. And he tells them, you don't have to fill your prayer with these, with idle thoughts or things. You just tell him what you want, because guess what? He already knows what you're going to pray before you even pray it. Have you ever thought of that? That's pretty cool, isn't it? Someone has told you that before? Okay. I bet it came from the Bible, don't you? Yeah. So we pray to God to communicate with him, just to talk to him and build our relationship with him. And we know that sometimes he answers the way we want, and sometimes it's not exactly what we want, right? But he still answers us, okay? Well, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for listening to us at any time that we talk to you. Help us to remember to have a conversation with you each day. Be with us as we live in the world, and help us to share your love with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. For this day, we thank you for our opportunity to be here in your house once again, to worship you, to sing praises to you, and to hear your word. Lord, we ask that as we sit here now to hear your word, to to listen to it, that you would open our hearts to receive that word. And Lord, as we talk about prayer this morning, we ask that that we would be in constant conversation with you. Lord, that we have that desire to have that deeper relationship with you, that we spend more time with you in prayer and in our thoughts. Lord, we ask that you would block out a few of the distractions that we might have so that we can focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought we would kind of back up. We're picking up again with the Believe series. We took a break for that 1 week for Easter Sunday. But if we go back to the very beginning of the series, we spent 10 weeks looking at some core Christian beliefs, some beliefs that we glean from the Bible, that the Bible teaches us. For Christians, that we would say, if someone calls himself a Christian or even a Christian denomination or church, they need to hold to these core beliefs. Obviously, the first one was God, that we believe that the God of the Bible is the one true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that he's a personal God. Our identity is found in him, and that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And so those are all core beliefs that we as Christians hold. Now, on Palm Sunday, we sort of made a switch to so what now? As we live our lives in the world as a Christian and we hold to these core Christian beliefs, how do we live? What do we do? How do we act? What do we put into practice that helps us continue living our lives in this world? On Palm Sunday, we looked at worship. This morning, we're going to turn our attention to prayer. And so I wanted to ask you this morning, how many of you have ever turned to or looked up on Pinterest or YouTube or Google how to do something? Has anybody ever done that? I do that quite often myself. In fact, I've probably fixed the several problems on a vehicle by doing that. I've remodeled our bathroom. I've worked on various other projects. I learned how to plant a pineapple. I was successful in getting it to start to grow, but then I left it outside in the winter and it didn't like the cold weather. So, but you can learn all sorts of stuff. And I started thinking about it. It's easy to do. You just type in what you're searching for and it'll pop up 100 to 1,000 different articles on how to do what you're looking for. And I thought, what makes this so easy and where we want to do that? And I thought, this is it. We don't have to ask anyone. We can do this kind of in secret or in quiet. I thought about, you know, how men don't like to ask directions? We don't like to ask directions because we don't want to show our ignorance, right? I thought, isn't that the same way with using YouTube or these places to find out how to do something? We don't have to get personally involved with someone else, and we don't have to show them that we really don't know. But then we look smart when someone comes over to your bathroom and says, look what I did. We don't have to have that personal interaction with someone. You know, as the disciples, they experienced firsthand numerous things that Jesus did, miracle after miracle after miracle. He walked on water. He did all of these crazy things. But yet, wouldn't it have been cool for them to know how to walk on water? Wouldn't it have been neat to know how to calm a storm? Wouldn't it have been neat to know how to catch a boatload of fish? Or at one point, just one fish that would pay your taxes and your buddy's taxes? Or in today's society, with all of the terminal illnesses that we had, wouldn't it be neat to know how to heal someone? But yet in all of the disciples' encounters and firsthand experience with Jesus' miracles, there's not one single time that's recorded in Scripture for us that they say, hey, Jesus, how'd you do that? They don't ask, how do you do that? And I don't know if it was a guy thing, they were too embarrassed or what. But it looks like it would have been the neatest thing in the world to find out, how do you do that? The closest we get is at one point, the disciples are out They're performing miracles. They're teaching the gospel. And they come across a boy that has an evil spirit in him. And they finally say, Jesus, we've tried it. We can't do it. And so Jesus drives out this spirit. And then they finally ask, how did you do that? And Jesus says, this particular spirit can only be driven out with prayer. But out of everything else that Jesus does, not one single time do the disciples say, how did you do that? We want to be able to do that. Now, we do see the disciples ask Jesus one thing on how to do. And they ask him, how do we pray? And in our gospel reading today, he lays out, I guess, the most famous prayer in the world, the Lord's Prayer. In fact, even our chapel kids, preschool kids, on their day of chapel, they come and we circle up here and we say our prayer. And then when we get to the end of our prayer, they go, wait. So everybody freezes and then we say the Lord's Prayer. And it's something that I've noticed that even when people, if they can't even remember hardly anything in their later years, you start saying the Lord's Prayer, that thing just starts rolling off their tongue. Isn't that amazing? Prayer was very important to Jesus. It was a very important aspect of his life. We see him praying. He's always going off to a solitary place to pray. Sometimes it's early in the morning before he starts a big day. Sometimes it's at the end of a long day work. Sometimes it's right before something big is fixing to happen, like in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's praying before he's going to go to the cross. He spends a lot of time in prayer. And so prayer is very important to him. And so therefore it ought to be important to us, right? But I guess the question is, why is prayer important and what do we do in prayer? And I think our key point for today really shows us that, if we can put that on the screen. I pray to God to know him, to find direction for my life, and to lay my request before him. Kind of what we talked about with the children, right? So say that with me. I pray to God to know him, to find direction for my life, and to lay my request before him. And let's go to the key verse. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Psalm 66, 18 to 20. Prayer is something that is a very crucial part of our life. It was crucial for Jesus, and it's crucial for us. Now, I started thinking about prayer, and prayer sometimes can be intimidating, especially in a group of people, right? In fact, I made up my own joke. I said, how do you get a group of Lutherans to look straight down in their lap? Ask for volunteers to pray. Because you see, instead of their hand going up, they look down. Now, they want to avoid eye contact because in our circles, eye contact is the same as raising your hand. Because if you make eye contact, then you're automatically saying, I want to pray, okay? Just let you know that in case we do that after a while, all right? Okay. But yeah, it's intimidating to pray because a lot of times we don't know exactly what to pray for, or we may know and just don't know what words to say. Well, we're going to get to that here in a minute. Because as we think about prayer, especially in our own personal life, prayer takes on a little bit different meaning. And I think why it's so intimidating to pray in a group is because I think we think we have to do it a certain way. But as we look at what I believe Jesus teaches us in prayer, we can take really three things from his teaching. Because as the disciples ask him how to pray, he tells them, but I think we even get a better picture at what he models for them. The first thing is to just pray. You know, there's nothing more to say than Jesus just went off and prayed. I mean, when he was faced with a big day of work, if he was faced with dealing with the challenges and struggles that he had that day, or whether he was looking at a big event or decision that had to be made, he spent time in prayer. So, first one is pretty simple. Just pray. The second one has to do with in Matthew chapter 6, I believe, Jesus is teaching his disciples, or teaching the crowd how to pray. And he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. And don't stand on the street corner and stand in the synagogues and pray, you know, where everyone can see you. What does he tell them to do? He says, go to your room and close the door. And so a big thing for us today, I think, is we need to get rid of the distractions. How many of you would agree that we have a lot of distractions in the world today? Yeah. And if we notice what Jesus did, what did he always do to pray? He sort of removed himself from those distractions. He went off to a solitary or a quiet place. Now, I know a solitary and a quiet place is hard to find in the world today. You may have to take earplugs with you, right? Because I even thought, you know, if when Jesus went off to the mountainside to pray, or out kind of off in the wilderness or desert area somewhere, it was probably peaceful. But I thought, you know, even today, if we do that, an airplane's going to interrupt us, right? Yeah, we have so much noise coming from every direction, but eliminate the distractions. And I know that people today are really good at, and I think I have some children that are pretty good at that too, what we call, and I'm not even for sure if I pronounce the word right, but multitasking, you know, doing several things at one time. Well, they may be okay at it, but can you really focus on one thing really well when you're trying to do two or three at the same time? And I'm going to say no. Even though someone disagreed with me up here. I'm going to say no, because your mind cannot be focused on two or three things at the same time and have your attention really focused on one better. And so it means turning off the TV. It means turning off your iPod that has the music going in your ear. It means getting away, closing the doors. And I know people who have children, you're thinking, well, how can I get away from that noise? Well, it may mean getting up early, right? Or going to bed later. And so you have to adjust to find that quiet time to get all of the distractions blocked out in our life. And finally, the third thing is, in that same passage in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, don't fill your prayer with these empty words. Now, what that means to me is when the people were up on the street corner or in the synagogue praying, they might have been saying these really big, theological, lofty words that everybody was so impressed with, but yet in their heart they really didn't mean anything with it. Now, I know that there's some people that can pray really well. I know that there's some people that you might label as a prayer warrior. And maybe you can think of one of those right now in your mind. And there's some people that if I were to ask a group, if someone wants to pray, in your mind you're thinking, well, they need to pray because they can pray really good. But I think what Jesus is trying to tell the people here, be simple. Simplicity is better than these idle, lofty words that we want to use. Just use your simple everyday language. You don't have to impress anyone. You don't have to pull out the dictionary to be able to define the words that you're using. Just pray. Pray the way you would. Spill your life out to Jesus in just your common everyday language. Because Jesus goes on to say in that passage, because I know the words before you even speak them. You see, Jesus knows already what we're going to ask. So there's no need to try to fill your prayers with words that nobody knows what you're saying. There's no need to impress someone. Simplicity. So, pray. Get the distractions removed. And be simple. Those are three simple steps, I believe, for us to practice our prayer life. Jesus wants us to do that. And what I wanted to say as well, as we moved from the core Christian beliefs, and the one especially on that Jesus is the one who saves us. Our salvation is only found through Jesus Christ. And as we celebrated last Sunday, the empty tomb, and we saw on Good Friday how Jesus was nailed to the cross, he endured the punishment that was actually our punishment. It was actually what we deserved for our sins. Jesus took all that on himself. He was placed in that tomb, and on Easter Sunday, the tomb was empty. That's where salvation comes from. And now, because salvation is a part of our life as believers in Christ, we want to worship Him. We want to have a prayer life that strengthens our relationship with Him. These practices that we're talking about now and that we'll be talking about for another 8 weeks are not things that gain us salvation, not gain more favor with God. They're simply ways in which we put into practice and we respond to the saving message of Jesus Christ. And I pray that this week that we can find time to include a special prayer time each day as we continue to walk with our Lord in this world. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We stand for our prayers. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for this day, and we thank you for all the love that you have poured out on us through your Son. Lord, we ask that as we continue to live our lives in this world, that you would help us with our prayer life, that we would want to have that personal relationship with you to be in contact with you through prayer each day. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we lift up those who are sick and struggling, those who are faced with challenges each day. We name those in our hearts and, Lord, that are listed in our bulletin. Lord, we especially give thanks today for Alice Jeske, whose arm is finally beginning to heal the way they wanted it to. We pray that that would continue to go well. Lord, we lift up Robert DeLauder, who is recovering from a hip replacement, to Louis Donahue, who is in the hospital in Providence, who had a pacemaker put in, and for Addie, Brittany Lackey's 3-year-old niece, who is in the hospital with E. coli. Lord, we ask that you would watch over each of these individuals. Lord, that you would strengthen them for each day. And Lord, just surround them with your love and reassure them of your presence in their life. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we lift up our country and its leaders today. Lord, we ask that you would continue to be with them. Lord, that you would be with our election process. And Lord, that you would... Lord, just surround our leaders with godly men and women who have good biblical and moral values. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we lift up our youth today as well. We ask that you would surround them with your love and with your protection. Lord, as they grow in this world, we ask that they can be the example for who you are in their lives, and that they can become the leaders that you called them to be. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
And Lord, we pray that as we prepare to come to your table this morning, that we come in a worthy manner, discerning the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. We pray that we leave our sins at the foot of the cross, and Lord, trust in your love and mercy and in the grace that you have brought us through your Son. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I would ask that you would be seated. The choir is going to sing the Lord's Prayer for us, and this will give us a moment just to listen to the words as they sing. Given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Serve the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith, the life everlasting. Depart in peace and joyfully serve the Lord. Amen. everlasting, departed in peace, and joyfully serve the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
We stand for prayer. Gracious God, we thank you that you have refreshed us here today with your word and with the gift of your Son's body and blood. Lord, we ask that we have been equipped here today to serve you in the world, and we pray for opportunities this week to be a witness of who you are in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We remain standing for our closing.
This is a pretty good.